Good morning. It is Friday, May the 1st, and we're back with another edition of Talk Shop. Joining us today is our stalwart leader, Brian Papstein, and the new manager for the City of Eureka, Dean Lauder.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Are you ready for today's Why Do We Say It?
You are pinch-hitting. Let her rip.
Pull one's leg. I picked this one out especially for you. Why do we say pull one's leg?
I have no clue.
The reason that we refer to pulling one's leg is tripping up a man by catching his foot or by pulling his leg. This, of course, makes the man fall, and to see a person fall is considered comic by all of mankind.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently doesn't need anyone to pull his leg. He just does all of that falling on his own.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need assistance. I've got that ability naturally.
you accept.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully I'll get out of this brace in the next 4 or 5 weeks here and be able to not trip and fall with grace. So, Dean, here we are, 6 weeks into this crazy thing?
No kidding. I mean, you can't make this one up, I guess. This one's pretty interesting and unique.
Yeah, I don't think they teach this one at City Manager School, do they?
If they did, somehow I missed it. It must have been an elective.
Yeah, it was a lab class. You kept oversleeping.
Right.
So what's been the biggest surprise so far for you?
Just in general or responding to the pandemic?
As the manager during this period of time.
You know, surprise. I don't know that I've had any big surprises. You know, the team at the city, I thought, came together quite nicely. I thought the county came together quite nicely. We had, you know, there were a couple of burrs here and there to iron out a little bit, just as far as communication and who was making the call on different things. And, you know, I think, you know, when the original shelter-in-place orders came out, there was a lot of maybe some discretion interpretation there, and so different cities were doing different things, and you know, we wanted to the best of our ability, I think, kind of come together and make sure that there was some consistency as far as what are the orders and how are they enforced, and just so that the local enforcement agencies could understand exactly what was expected of them. And I think that's to be expected, frankly. I mean, we're in a set of circumstances that nobody's ever confronted before, and so there's a lot of learning and growing that's gone on, but it's been interesting from the standpoint, you know, that it's just kind of brought everyone together in one form or fashion, and that's in by no way a surprise necessarily. It's just, you know, nothing like a global pandemic to bring people together.
And free food, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Yeah, as being the new guy on the team, you'd mentioned communications. Was it interpretation of what was being said, or was it lines of communication that were proving to be problematic at times?
No, I think it was more interpretation, you know, and what was, you know, okay as far as for a business, if a business was able to stay open or not. What kind of practices would they put in place to, you know, show that they were following CDC guidelines? And if they could follow CDC guidelines, you know, should they just be allowed to stay open? Or, you know, I'll give you another example. For us, originally the municipal golf course, you know, it closed, then it opened, then it closed again. And I think that was just an effort to try to do what was right. And, you know, we just needed to have some more clarity there. So everyone was, I think, on the same page, and we ultimately got that. But, you know, it's just, you don't contemplate those things, right? I mean, if you have, our vernacular has changed in light of this pandemic. So now we have things that we talk about, like communal points of contact, which is another way of saying a doorknob or a hand railing, or in the case of a golf course, you know, a pin, a cup pin. You know, every time somebody comes up on the green, they pull the pin. Well, if you have people touching that over and over and over and over, it becomes a communal point of contact that can allow for the spread of COVID-19. So you just, you know, thinking through all of those different things has, I think, has been really more or less what's presented the challenge, and then the interpretation of the orders and making sure that we were doing a good job interpreting those orders. It's a lot harder, I think, than people think. So I think there's just been some growth opportunity there, and part of that is, you know, presented by the fact that we're just dealing with circumstances we've never been confronted with before.
Yeah, novelty always gives you an opportunity to learn. Were there a lot of transferables from some of the training that the city officials have gone through over the past years to help to mitigate some of that?
Oh, I think so. I mean, as far as just kind of structured, and, you know, there's what's called NIMS, the National Incident Management Systems, and, you know, a lot of folks, and I've gone through that training. It's been a little while, but I've gone through that training. I know a lot of the staff here have gone through that, and certainly at the county they've gone through that. And, you know, that helps everyone kind of understand it, you know, a unified command structure. And within the city, you know, we were able to pull up a report that we just modified from a previous incident into addressing this incident, and that
perfect. So it's like this stuff actually works.
It does. You know, create a command and a chain of succession, and you know, all that good stuff. And so there are some new sections to our plan because of this particular set of circumstances we find ourselves in.
But yeah, we'll talk about some of that uniqueness when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Dean Lauder from City of Eureka. Dean, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, you said that going through some of the training that there is an awful lot of transferable. What are some of the elements that you really have come in handy, you know, whether it was the training at the FBI Academy or the Fire Academy, or maybe just kind of having some of the desktop training exercises that have gone on over the years?
Well, yeah. So my experience with regards to that training, of course, comes mainly from my previous place of employment. I haven't been here long enough to go to some of those training sessions here. But, you know, the team around me really helped me out in that respect. So in other words, like our local EOC, what I did was I picked the fire chief, the police chief, our community services director as our logistics assigned representative, and then our public works director as our A rep or our agency rep back to the county. So anytime that we have a meeting, if we have some questions, issues, concerns, need for supplies, clarity on our SIP orders, whatever the case might be, our agency rep takes those down and then gets in touch with somebody at the county OES. You know, we don't wait around for the call-ins that happen. If there's something that's urgent, that person has that assignment, that person takes care of it, they communicate back to the group. And I also failed to mention the clerk. She's in those meetings also because, you know, she helps us with the public information side of things too. So, you know, there's a good team here that's already been established. They've gone through a lot of good training. I was able to rely on their past experiences, and it's been invaluable.
With this, and I know, you know, everybody has said one of the big challenges is the fact that there's not a finish line. You're not working against a date or towards a set of circumstances that are controllable. This is just this loosey-goosey thing that's out there. We talked with Merritt on Tuesday and asked him, And so I'll ask you the same question. Is there any efforts being made that you're aware of at the state level to get a recognition between rural communities like ours that are having, I guess, a little bit of positive testing, but not too much, versus the urban settings where, you know, you do have such high density that it's much more difficult, and the prevalency is so much higher also. Is there a recognition of the distinctions within the state?
You know, I think that there is. I think that there has been reluctance to take an official stance on that, simply because then you start, you know, the state puts themselves in a position to pick the proverbial winners and losers, if you will. And not only that, if they pick wrong, the consequences tend to be a bit dire. And so while I agree, you know, say in our particular location, we now seem to be going, through several day stretches where we don't have positive tests. But you got to keep in mind the incubation period is at least 14 days. So until we start seeing, you know, multiple segments of 14 days without positive testing, I think that, you know, we have to kind of be very, reluctant to roll things back. Having said that, there are discussions that are already taking place right now that where we're looking at, if we were to roll back some of those orders, what would that look like? And we can't do anything, obviously, that would, you know, violate the state orders, because that's the minimum, right? We can be more stringent than those orders, but we can't be more lax than those orders. So we do talk about those things. You know, I'll be very blunt about it. I think more often than not, we talk about the differences between, you know, more rural locations like ours, as compared to more populated areas like some of the bigger cities like the Bay Area, in terms of the money. The money seems to go to the larger areas, the more populated areas, and to a certain extent, I do get that. But we have small business owners here that need support and assistance, and I know SBDC and other support organizations like REDEC and the Chamber, they're doing a great job of trying to make sure that those business owners get in touch with resources to help them through these tough times. But I feel like we just don't get attention from the federal government or the state government in that respect. Allegedly, some of the monies that are coming out now allegedly should start filtering to communities like ours.
Right. Well, it depends on how quick. You know, I was fortunate enough that I've got a group of radio guys, and we jumped on the PPP thing out of the chute. We were funded a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that. But silly me, I paid attention to what the IDOL said, you know, end of 2020, and thought, man, we can deal with that one later on after we take care of the other stuff. Not a wise move, it appears, at this point, unless there is some additional funding that's there. But what about for, you know, the cities? Because you guys are in a stead where sales tax is a big deal.
Yep.
Is there anything that you guys can do to start pushing sales tax, or is that just going to be a reflection of what the state does?
Well, you know, what we're hoping is that when all is said and done, we'll be able to recover some, you know, dollars that will hopefully make us whole for the sales tax revenues we're expecting to lose. You know, but that's, and we are communicating about that through a variety of different means. You know, my finance director has probably filled out more fiscal impact surveys than he cares to, but it's important that we continue to do so that we're making sure that, you know, our other supporting agencies like the California League of Cities, as well as Sacramento itself, understand, you know, exactly what we're faced with.
It's kind of tough sledding out there. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Dean Lauder. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Dean, as you're looking at some of the impacts to the city, we are physically, we're located about a quarter mile outside the city limits. So I think a lot of us, you know, live in Cotton, who live in Myrtletown, who live in some of the adjacent communities might see that this is a City of Eureka thing only, but certainly that's not the case. What kind of sense do you have early on? I mean, we're still in the middle of this thing. Nothing has been really determined. There's fluidity might be the best thing. And even if there are funds, it's not going to you. It's going to Sacramento, and then they are going to choose to how to disperse it. Do you feel comfortable with that model?
Well, I mean, I think regardless of my comfort, the reality is we'll have to solve it for ourselves. And it's going to come down to Eureka and the surrounding area, taking care of Eureka and the surrounding area. And we'll welcome, of course, any support that might come. But, you know, we are looking at different kinds of things to do as far as just adjusting our budget to acclimate to some new realities. And we just started recently, I sent out an email just this week to encourage people who might be close to retirement to consider an early retirement package or offering, and we're offering a short window of time. Normally we offer months for people to talk to HR about that, but now just because we've got a fiscal year ending in June and a new one starting 1st of July, we need to know sooner than later if people are interested in doing that. If people are and they take advantage of it, that will help us acclimate to our new realities. And
How does that save money?
Say that again?
How does that save money, having somebody retire early? Is it just the monthly salary? Is that where the savings are?
Yeah, it can be in that. It can be in the retirement. It depends. You know, for some folks, they might not be worried about their pay so much. It might be because their retirement may be just fine for them. What's more of a consideration for them is the continuance of, say, healthcare coverage for a period of time. So if you can have them extend healthcare coverage, but we can save the dollars because they took an early retirement package that did that for them, that's where we can save some money. And it's been done before with some success, and we'll see. Like I said, we've only got a short window, about 60 days, for people to take advantage of that. And so we'll know in a short period of time exactly what that means for us. I think beyond just the current reality, you know, obviously we're going to see a lot less sales tax revenue for this portion of the year. But you mentioned the question mark. You know, what we don't know is what we don't know. When will things kind of return back to a somewhat recognizable normality? And how much will our economy lag behind that as a result, our sales tax revenues? And that could be a multiple year recovery.
That's what I was going to ask you. What, you know, and some of these models that are getting kicked around are proving to be, I think Revell probably has models that are more accurate to reality than some of these economic models that we keep hearing about. They just really kind of seem out to be out to lunch in a number of scenarios. But as you look at it, and try to figure out what is the second half of this year going to look like, do you see a compression and a huge amount of pent-up energy and demand to bring the economy back? Are you a V guy? Are you a W guy? Are you a slow incline guy? What do your tea leaves look like?
Well, I think, you know, my concern is if we go too far too fast, we end up with a second wave and we end up back to March 20th situations. And I think that would just be horrible for us and for everyone. I think that would be terrible for our business community and the community as a whole. So I'm a more cautious mover in that respect. And I think, you know, as long as we continue doing our good habits of washing our hands and taking care of things like that. And now we've got, of course, the mask order that took effect, you know, at midnight last night. You know, that's going to be important for people to follow too. And if we can get people to really follow those guidances, I think that can help us get the economy back a little bit sooner. But I'm more cautious than not.
What are you hearing from business folks in the area? I know what I hear, and kind of the overriding sentiment is, well, that's nice and dandy. You know, we may be healthy and safe, but we're also going to be out of a job and we just lost our business. What do you say to the folks that are in that kind of a boat right now and have those concerns?
You know, I think that, and I was just on a call a little bit earlier, and I had, you know, like the chamber director part of that call, and we were talking specifically about businesses who were asking those kinds of questions, and so it's very timely. And what I suggest is if you have a business right now that they think that they can abide by the CDC guidelines and still function, they should reach out to the city of Eureka to make that argument. So in other words, let's say a business has been informed that they likely should close, and so they have. But reality is getting more and more tough for them. If they email covid19@ci.eureka.ca.gov,
How about a phone call to somebody's office? We got a better shot at that one than / and .. and all that. Yeah. Did they call Christine or Brian and kind of talk to them and then get the guidance?
Yeah, they can make their case, and different businesses have done that. And frankly, there are a lot of businesses who have been quite innovative in making sure that everyone's as safe as they possibly can be, and they're still able to operate at least, you know, in part of what they maybe used to operate as, but it's maybe enough to keep them going and getting them through this time. And so
you do have some flexibility then. That's exciting.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're always looking at the criteria in the SIP, but I think that the SIP does give some discretion, and so we try to work with the businesses as much as we possibly can, so that there's still an economy that's going on and or an economy that we can return to.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:48. We are back, final segment of the week, this morning with Dean Lauder. Dean, what is the situation with the city parks? We hear about the separation thing. Okay, some of the county parks are open, some are closed, same to state. What is the official determination for the city of Eureka? Where are we with the parks?
Well, we've always, you know, our parks have been open, our recreational areas have been open as long as, you know, people are able to maintain their social distancing, you know, and that that's one of the thoughts we had about the zoo versus, say, the waterfront trail. I mean, the trail still provides for social distancing, And yet, you know, we still get calls. We still get people who express concerns to us about, you know, there's a group of kids playing basketball, and I'm pretty sure they're not all from the same family. And you know, that is an issue that we do try to go out and address because, of course, of basketball, going back to our new vernacular, is a communal point of contact. And so, you know, but for the most part, we have found people have been responsive and responsible. And that's the only way that this is going to work. Playground equipment, things like that, of course, have been shut down from the start. But I don't know if I hit the mark on that question about parks or not, but that's kind of been our approach.
But with the green spaces, like with Carson, 2030, Ross, you know, as long as you're just kind of wandering around, you're okay. Just stay off the toys, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's good to get out and get exercise, get out and walk, get out and get some fresh air and sun. That's all important, especially during this unique time.
Yeah, yeah. See, I can cut through a lot of that stuff. I'd probably take one of your meetings, hour-long meeting, and turn it into about 15 minutes.
Well, for those of us who can walk or go out for a walk, but then that would seem...
Oh, I see. Pull a net card out here. Last thing of the week, you pull that one out. Fine. But when I can, I'll hunt you down, okay?
Low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry.
There you go. Hey, maybe we can have lunch at a restaurant downtown somewhere. Won't that be a blast?
One of these things to look forward to.
There you go. There you go. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right. Thank you for your time.
All righty. Enjoy your weekend. See everybody on Monday.